This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. GLT Summer Concert headliner Adia Victoria's blues lyrics have been compared favorably with author Flannery O'Connor, a fellow Southerner. A South Carolina native and now Nashville resident uses gothic characters and landscapes over blues seasoned with garage, punk, gospel, and rock. Victoria tells GLT's John Norton she's been a Flannery O'Connor fan for many years.
I mean, I think that I had a lot of the same ideas and inclinations that Flannery had growing up in the Deep South and growing up in a highly structured religious community. Once people start filling their heads with these wild ideas that they know the truth and they know the way to live and they understand what this is all about, then they're ripe for the writer and the artist to come in and subvert them. And any artist worth their salt, they're going to need to alienate themselves. They're going to require that alienation in order to turn that knife towards these systems of oppression. And, you know, it's not heavy work. It's often done very humorously by Flannery. And I think that she was able to gather and refine and distill a lot of my hunches that I had as a kid growing up into something more artistic. She was able to articulate it in a way that I was not able to. These are just ideas that I had, you know, about my Bible school teacher and my preachers and all of the adults around me that I recognized were so very, very, very afraid.
Of what?
The loss of control, the unbridled truth that nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows why we're here. Nobody knows what happens after we die. There's no concrete evidence. And I think that this truth can drive man wild. I think it drives people insane. If you need that control, if you need that ability to say concretely, like, this is what it is, this is God, this is what God's what, this is God's will, it's like, you have no idea what God's will is. I guarantee you that it's not capitalism. I guarantee you it's not whatever we fashioned as the American dream. But there is a fear of losing that power over people that have bought into that. And I don't want no man.
Adia Victoria from the album Silence. It's called Pacolet Road. And Adia, this song talks about you wanting to get the heck out of South Carolina where you grew up. But it also references your grandmother in that line where it says you want to do everything your grandma wished she could have done.
I'm going up them stairs. I'm going to pack a bag. I'm going to do everything in the world that my grandma ever wished she had.
Is this a reference to your actual grandmother, or is this more symbolic?
My grandmother was it is a literal reference, but it's also symbolic of these black women who had brilliance. My grandmother was one of the hidden figures. She worked for GE during the space mission in the 50s and 60s when they were trying to put a man on the moon. And she was a brilliant secretary to several engineers whose work, you know, would go into getting these men on the moon. But my grandmother is someone who, she married young, she had children, and that became the center of her life. And my grandma is also a brilliant artist. Growing up, she instilled in me the importance of education, of learning. And not necessarily like getting good grades in school, but having that curiosity to learn about the world around you. She taught me how to read. You know, my grandma used to let me drive her car around the country in South Carolina when I was like 7. She would, pull over. We'd be coming home from Ingalls, and she'd let me get in the driver's seat, and she'd say, "Now you drive us home."
7 years old?
7 years old. She was trying to tell me, it's like, you need to know where you're going. You need to know how to get around in this world. And she didn't come up in a time where it was easy for women, let alone black women, to have that sense of autonomy. And so her journey, and she'll tell you the same, was stifled. And it wasn't until my grandfather died about 3 years ago that my grandmother, out of nowhere, she began to paint voraciously. Like, she's done over like 200 portraits. She's had this in her the whole time. And it's like, God, like, what could she have been if the world had nurtured her brilliance, if they had recognized this woman is a genius? So I see it as imperative in me to go and further her line and do all the things that she wished that she had.
I want to play another song. It's called The Devil Is a Lie. It's from the album Silences.
I keep my head held high, my eyes on the sky,
really what is testing me is the man who's sitting next to me, the stress of always having to be happy all the time. Is this a nod to how women are supposed to comport themselves, or where does this come from?
Yeah, it's the emotional labor that women are tasked with, to constantly have to be an acquiescing presence for men, to constantly manage the male ego, to satiate it, to placate it, to keep it calm. It's terrifying work. Men are terrifying, you know, because men have been so locked out of their emotions, because, especially in this country, men vacillate between fear and rage. And that's the way that our system speaks. And those are the places in men that our system pokes most often, is fear and rage. So if you're constantly made to be afraid and then in a state of agitation, you're going to punch down whoever's below you. And that happens to be women. You know, we're just not as powerful as men. So they're able to, you know, step up and be tall by standing on us. And women have had to do this kind of jujitsu work of not agitating men just to stay alive. And it's exhausting. It's stressful. It's, oh God, like, what am I going to have to deal with this man? And you see it all the time. Like yesterday, I was in a gas station in West Virginia, and there's this guy, this old fat dude in front of me. And he was checking out, and the woman, the cash register, she was this young woman, and he was like aggressively hitting on her and jokingly, like with this laugh, but it was to the point where it was like so inappropriate and just got worse and worse. And the first thing that I felt was, while he was joking, was I felt this instinct to laugh at his jokes that weren't funny. They were terrifying. And the girl was laughing too, like, oh, okay. But like, really what you wanted to say was, hey, fat ass, like, get your ass out of here. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But you can't do that because, you know, he could turn around and have a gun and destroy you. So that's what that line is speaking to. It's just this emotional labor that women have put on our shoulders to keep men happy.
Say you're looking for something to make you feel anew. Don't believe in God, ha! Whiskey will do. You say you're looking for something that you feel anew. You don't believe in God, well, whiskey will do. Yes, whiskey will do.
Idea Victoria is our GLT Summer Concert headliner. This is Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. You're a blues artist, and you're someone that got to the blues maybe a little over a decade ago in your early 20s. What was it about this music that got your attention?
So in the blues, there's call and response. And the call is the singer announcing something, you know, a state of fact. And then it gives the response is the audience's chance to participate, to confirm that. The blues is about building community. It's about recognition. It's about being seen and giving voice to the unheard. It's a collective exercise. And for me, growing up in the church and in the South, there was no chance for response. You had people telling you, like, this is what will send you to heaven, this is what will send you to hell, this is good, this is bad, this is what, this is why. And you have no, there's no chance for recourse from you. So for me, finding the blues, it was the first time I felt that somebody was talking to me. Somebody held space for me at the end of their lyric to say, ain't that right? Don't you agree? Am I wrong? You feel me? That's what the blues did to me. It gave me a chance to respond, to sing along with somebody, to have artists be like, I know what you're going through. You're not alone. You know, you look at artists like Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith, like the true superstars of the blues, the original founders of the blues. And these were women who would go out and sing their songs about sexual liberation and women traveling and women being able to decide things in their lives for the first time ever. Like, these women were one generation removed from slavery. So they were the first people that looked like them that had any autonomy in their life whatsoever. And what did they do? What was the first thing that those women did? They started singing about the way that their lives looked. They started singing about the ways that they were going through the world. And then they would sing directly to other women. You know, they would say, girls, you know, you feel me? You hear me? They would, this is the way that they would communicate. So the blues allowed me to feel a part of something. It allowed me to locate myself on a plane of existence, which is something that I hadn't experienced before because I grew up in such a white world. I was so isolated. And the blues allowed me to be somebody's sister, somebody's daughter, somebody's niece that had walked before me, and now she was passing on the benefit of her life experiences, of her wisdom to me. That's what the blues is.